This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is always a big week when we talk Georgia, Florida. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The incredible Vince Dooley won over 200 games, but he went 17-7-1 against Florida. So he knows a little bit of something about playing these Gators, as does Barbara Dooley, who joins us. And Barbara, good to have you back on after a week off for the Dogs. Hopefully, it does the Dogs right heading into this game. And everybody's been talking about Billy Napier and, Florida's not playing well. Kirby said this week they're playing their best football right now. Wouldn't that be something, right, that they're playing their best football as they get ready to take on the Dogs?
Well, they'll be ready to take on the Dogs. But before we talk about that, I have to say, I am bragging. I am the only person that picked Georgia to beat Texas. and you did not say that. And
true.
I want to make sure you know I picked Georgia. It's on recorded. And I'm the only one. I was shocked at Coach Saban for not picking Georgia.
Well, nobody did on that ESPN panel, right?
No.
All right, let me tell you. He's got to get his ear ready for my mouth the next time I see him.
And that's why she started 1-800-BARBARA, and you can get Barbara's picks each week now.
That's right. But getting back to Florida, they are playing their best, and I want to tell you, their coach is coaching for his job. And the boys know that their coach is on the line. So they're going to be ready, and they're always ready. I can remember when in 1966 when Spurrier won the Heisman, and he was strutting up and down the field like a prima donna before the game.
Right.
And Bill Stanfill and Jake Scott and those tough defensive guys, you could just see them watching him. And he just ate their lunch. I mean, they just got all over Spurrier. And from that moment on, Spurrier hated Georgia with a vengeance. We won the SEC that year. And before that game, about four of us were driving to Florida with Lauren Smith. And we got in a car and stopped at a lake with alligators in it. And we caught a live gator and tied him to the car.
Barbara, come on. A live gator?
That's right, Larry. We did it.
A live gator. Yep. And we drove that car right into Jacksonville. We used to have so much fun. Oh, my God. What a game.
Catching a live gator is fun? That sounds dangerous.
So Lauren Smith went into a swamp and pulled out a live gator? I would like to have seen that.
Absolutely. Lauren Smith was fearless. Absolutely fearless. You can talk to him about tying it to the car and driving into Jacksonville. It was an absolute hilarious situation.
The only thing that would make that better is to hear Munson's play-by-play of that as it happened. I'd like to hear that.
Wouldn't that have been something? But I can remember when we beat Florida 51-0 in 1968. Mike Cabin, which was one of our coaches, and he now works for Kirby, was the quarterback. Coach Ray Graves was the coach, and they were doing so poorly that Graves put his offensive coordinator in as the defensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator in as the offensive coordinator. We beat them 51-0, and it was a torrential downpour, torrential. And I went to the game in a white knit dress that started at my knees, and when I left, it was at my ankles, and my red raincoat had turned my dress pink. It was the wildest thing, but Georgia, Florida is something you never forget. The greatest event, the greatest. And both teams better be ready to play. That's all I can say.
It is Barbara Dooley with us as the Dogs getting ready. She said she did correctly predict that they would handle their business in Texas. By the way, were you blown away by how good the defense looked? I mean, we've been waiting for that defense all season from the Dogs.
Well, I was blown away by the way the whole team looked. Are you kidding me? The offense and the defense. If we could do that every week, we wouldn't have a problem. But this week, we have really got to worry about our offense doing their job on the field and our defense, because Florida's ready for us, and the fans better be ready for one heck of a football game. I don't know what the line is. What, three touchdowns?
It's a 14.5 right now.
Oh, I would say lower. I'd probably say 10 points.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Barbara Dooley joining us as she does each and every week here on Dukes and Bell as we talk to her. And we talk about, you know, some of the things that she's experienced and Vince when he was the head coach there. And, you know, some things never change. And we were just talking about this game, you know, because of construction down there in Jacksonville. And I'm just curious how you feel after all these years, whether it's changed or not. Going down there, I think, benefits both programs. But because of construction in Jacksonville, this game's coming to Atlanta, and then it's going to be at Raymond James Stadium. And then it goes back to Jacksonville after the construction and the remake of their stadium is done. Do you want this to be a home-and-home game? Everybody's talked about this for years now.
Well, I can tell you what Vince thought. And my thoughts had no rate in this house. So I always bowed to his thoughts. But his thought was that the Georgia people in South Georgia and on the North Florida line – they got up every Saturday during football season and drove to Athens. And this was the one game every year that was in their backyard. And they could go like a normal person, not get up at 4:00 in the morning and tailgate. So he kept it. He wanted to keep it at Jacksonville just for the South Georgia people.
That's right. So many folks easily for Savannah, which still makes up a big part of it. Valdosta, all that makes great sense. Barbara Dooley's with us, guys. Brought to you by our friends at Kroger. I know that we did get you to tell the story last year, but we get new audience members every day joining the show. Barbara, is there any way we could get you to tell us the story of how you surprised your husband one Halloween down in Athens?
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to tell that story. This was many years ago. And Vince never got home before 10:30 at night during football season, if he got home that early. Right. And it was Halloween night, and he came in at 10:30, and I said, and he had never been home for Halloween. And I said, Vince, tonight's Halloween, and kids are going to be coming and ringing the doorbell. He had no clue that 10:30 was too late, but I said, when they come, here's your bowl of candy, and you just go to the door, and they'll say trick or treat, and you give them some candy. He said, okay. So he sat down to watch television, and I went to my room, and I got naked, and I put on a trench coat and a mask, and I went out my bedroom door to the front door, and I rang the doorbell. And he opened the door, and I went, trick-or-treat, and I flashed him. And he threw the bag of candy at me, and said, "My treat's in the shower."
He didn't even know it was you.
No. I had a mask on. And let me tell you, ladies, that worked so well, I got everything I wanted for the next 2 months. Tonight is your big night.
That's awesome.
If you're listening and your husband's not, I dare you.
Put on a mask and a coat.
And go trick-or-treat and flash your hubby. Spice
Barbara,
things up.
It is great. That is unbelievable story. We love hearing it. And I can only imagine, Vince, just the look on his face. I mean, you know, if you had those Ring cameras or whatever now, people can you imagine seeing that and being able to see that? Barbara Dooley, we love you. You know that. Dogs.
Love you.
Dogs. Go Dogs this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, go Dogs.
Go Dogs. And we were talking about this with some of my neighbors when I was walking Ike this morning. They said, by the way, because they love Barbara Dooley, that's for Elaine. She's a big, I think she's class of like 75. She said, you've got to get her to tell that story she told last year.
Yeah, it's classic. She told that last year. We had no idea. She's like, I got to tell you a story. And we're like, uh-oh, where's this going? If you hadn't heard it, it's one of the best ever. All right, guys, more to get to. We're going to get back into our Falcons because Cowboys are coming to town, and they are battling a bunch of injuries. What should give you a lot of promise that the Falcons are going to be able to handle business? We'll give it to you next. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It is Dukes and Bell on a Thursday. Happy Halloween, everybody. You want to see us dressed up? We did. A couple of years ago, we had fun with that as Crockett and Tubbs. Mike posted today at Mike Bell ATL. Follow me at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929, where we have a great killer poll going on. See what I did there?
Yes, involving Halloween. Yeah, man, and Chris has got some of the scarier options for you to choose from. And then there's also the category you can just write in your own and explain what it is. And I'm by the way, Chris, I got a bunch of guys responded to me of whether they're my age or a little bit younger or older with Salem's Lot from CBS back in 1979, and it scared the living crap out of them when you consider you're able to pull that off on regular TV.
Yeah.
You know, which nowadays, today, you'd expect to see. Chris, real quick,
it's more gore, Mike.
What's the movie you just saw, which is freaking people out? They're actually giving warnings for just how gory this thing is.
Oh, yeah, it's called Terrifier. It is the third installment of this gore horror movie franchise. And if you have a queasy stomach, I would recommend bringing a paper bag. This thing is unbelievable.
Yeah, see, that's the stuff, like...
I don't like that
stuff.
Well,
it doesn't scare me as much as the spiritual stuff that you're talking about, like the ghost and, you know.
I'm not into the slasher genre, you know, that whole thing, and, well, you know, Saw and all that. But, I mean, that's everybody that has their own thing. I just doesn't do it for me.
It depends on the level, the amount of it. I'm trying to think back of the damn movie we went and saw years ago that was crazy, and it was made on a budget. Hold on. It'll come to me. 1 second.
Blair Witch Project. Yeah.
That and if you ever when we went to the movies to see it, right, and the way it was shot, and she's breathing, and you're like, what? And it was shot in such a way, like it was like, you know, a single cam,
and the narrative was like, this camera was found.
Yes,
you're all dead.
Oh yeah. It was scary as hell. Like, and I don't even remember when that came out, but that was one of those movies, like. It didn't have a lot of gore, but the idea of how they, you know, because you see them in the scene and then all of a sudden something's pulling them and they're gone.
Right.
You're like, what just happened right there? Anyways, poll questions up, man. Go vote, and we'll have some fun with this in the 6 o'clock hour. Hey, let's talk about the Falcons, because Mike and I talked to Coach Ra yesterday. I told you guys Monday, I'm challenging Matthew Judon, step up. We need to see more. We need to see more action when it comes to quarterback hits, sacks, etc. I'm not saying he's not playing well, because he is doing a lot of good things well. And Coach alluded to that, you know, even in coverage. But we asked him about Matthew Judon and what the standard is. What does he expect? Here's what he said.
And he's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to the standard that we expect him. He knows that. Like, it's not anything that we hide behind. There's nothing to protect the guy on. But, like, hey, he's doing some really good things outside of the sack area. But we wanted the sack area from him. And he knows that. And it's no secret about that.
He knows that. There's no secret. So they're telling him exactly the same thing that we're talking about. And yet, we haven't quite yet seen the results. Mike, maybe that happens this weekend. I just want to see an uptick. Again, I'm not expecting him to have 5 sacks and, like, rip off his shirt.
The sack area.
Okay, I just want to see an uptick.
No, it'd be great. You know, if he actually, like... This is the way this game goes down. He picks up Dak Prescott, breaks him over his knee like Bane.
It'll be great.
And then he points to the stands and goes, "That's right, Dukes, and you're next."
That would be great.
He's got Dak in his hands. Ah!
Yeah. I'm
coming for you, Dukes.
I just feel like, you know, give me an uptick. Can you give me an uptick, Judon?
Yeah.
Just a little bit? You're next. Here's Coach talking about Arnold Ebukadi. Because you keep talking about Arnold Ebukadi.
I mean, the dude did have six sacks, and he was drafted second overall. It's time to do more stuff.
All right, Ra, is he doing more stuff?
He's actually rushing the best. He just hadn't had the actual results that you want to have. You know, him and Caden Ellis probably got the best production from a hurry standpoint. You know, for whatever reason, our whole team has just not been able to hit the quarterback. But AK is one of the guys that's rushing the right way, doing a lot of things, getting encouraged to play some inside moves, getting encouraged to take the edge, use the speed, do some of those things.
Now, again, a lot of our fans go, well, what are the specific reasons? You know, when I heard steak today in the steakhouse, I was laughing. He goes, so what is he good at? Ballroom dancing? Is he good at, he makes a good spread? I mean, like, we need to get the quarterback on the ground. Looks like if we don't.
Is he talking about Arnold?
Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Well, he did have, it was 2 weeks ago we talked about, I think he had, it was the Carolina game where he would have had a sack, but they called it, they took a penalty for holding.
Right.
And pushed it back, negated the sack.
Steaky, he just told you. He has been one of the best rushers. Here's the problem, and this is where we all can agree. There's no tangible results.
No. Sacks. We're looking for sacks. I mean, like tackles for loss. That's another category I'll accept.
But
right?
But you haven't even seen that. When we see it on Sundays, and this is the thing. This doesn't mean that these guys aren't playing well. Coach is just telling you guys, look, we're breaking down this film. We're watching it every week. He's where he needs to be. He's doing the things he needs to do. We're just not seeing what you want to see, which is sacks. But he's getting a good rush. Okay. But the problem is, as fans, Mike, we need to see the results. It's like Kirk Cousins throwing a touchdown. Right. You see the touchdown happen. Hey, Cousins had 50 completions with no touchdowns. It doesn't feel the same.
Well, for years and months, we're like, Pitts has got to be a focal point of this offense. And, you know, you said he'll be the big key of this offense. And now he's a big part of it in the red zone. Two touchdowns. And every game now, Pitts is in a rhythm. He's making a big catch.
This thing's opening up, Mike.
He's moving the chains. His drives are being sustained because of Pitts' plays like they were the year that Matt Ryan was still here in 2001. So that's where we're at. Now, I know there's a bunch of A-listers that you're not going to get. Max Crosby's not getting traded from the Raiders. Myles Garrett's not getting traded from the Browns. But Za'Darius Smith is still linked to a number of teams to be traded. Za'Darius Smith is an older player like Judon, so this would be a rental-type situation. But here's the deal. According to Jim Costa, covers the NFL, Browns are asking for a, quote, really good day three pick.
Okay.
Translation would be a fourth rounder. So if you're looking for what do we have, you say, Mike, what do the Falcons got?
What do we got?
We got a one, a two. We don't have a three because we traded that to New England for Judon. We don't have a six. We traded Rams Van Jefferson. That comes home to roost. So we don't have a six. We do have a round five. We did lose one of our round five picks because of the tampering nonsense with the NFL. And we have a seven from the Rams in exchange for Heineke. But point I'm getting to, we do have a four. If you're willing to trade a round four pick, to get a guy in Za'Darius Smith who can perhaps pump some life, or maybe they've done their scouting. Fontenot and his guys have looked and said, yeah, it's just he's not going to help us.
Mike, he's got five sacks.
He'll help us.
That's more than almost our entire team has.
Yes.
I'll take Za'Darius Smith today.
Plus, it's a cool name.
It is. 404-726-0929. If you told me we could add this to us, and again, this is what you say is a rotational guy. He's not going to be out there every down, but that's fine. I don't care. He's got five sacks this year on what I think has been a bad Cleveland Browns team, basically because of the quarterback position, and now all of a sudden Jameis Winston's taking over, and that might revitalize them. But if he is available and that's the cost, Mike, that's reasonable. I'm not giving up a whole bunch as we continue to build this thing and move forward because I want to be good for a long time. I don't want to be good for 1 year. I want to be good for a while.
You could potentially get out of this deal after this year. There's an option for 25. He'd be 33 years of age. It doesn't break the bank, what he's earning.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Let me get the whole numbers here. You got to slide over this bar scale. Total hit for him would be $14.2 million. So that's not chicken feed for the following year.
No, it's not.
No, this year everything is prorated. It's actually dropped. Yeah, it is. I got it right. This year it's a 19.4, but it's prorated from what he's already played for with the Browns, right?
Yeah, half the season.
But I mean, give up a fourth rounder for a guy with five sacks, that's better than anything we got. Yes, yes, yes. When we've got everything, you just said it. I've said all offseason that our business model is going to be 2016, but the 2016 team was a hell of a lot better getting the quarterback on the ground than this team is.
They were.
Yeah, happy Halloween, everybody. Fun. We got a great poll question up at Dukes of Bell 929 about scary movies. Chris has three classics, or you can write in your favorite and explain why. It's all up there. And have some fun on Twitter. We're going to get back to doing the last call game winner tonight about your favorite Halloween movie. Funny last night. Some Halloween costumes we've already seen today. The memes are hysterical. It's a kid wearing a Yankee jersey, and the T-shirt is top of the fifth. And it's basically five with an arrow from, like, the Fox graphic from last night when everything kind of went off the rails for the Yankees.
It's actually perfect. And it's just – it's so apropos. Right, that immediately becomes a costume the next day. Yankee fans feeling all kind of ways about last night. They blew that game, Mike, and that's why that costume was perfect.
Hey, man, the Yankees lose to the Dodgers. Obviously, the Yankees' natural rival, of course, is the Red Sox. So how funny is this? The Dodgers fly back to Los Angeles, land at LAX in the New England Patriots plane.
What happened?
Well, they share the same charter company, so it wasn't like Bob Kraft says, hey, you guys, you beat New York, take my play. Well, I don't know. Just so happens, and this is an article from WCBS in New York, they went through the same company that charters the Patriots' planes. Apparently, Patriots have two of them. Nice, must be nice for Mr. Kraft. That had nothing to do with the Boston-New York rivalry or the Patriots lending a hand to a team that beat up on a New York team, but it just seems so funny to see they land in L.A. and there's all the Dodgers filing out of the Patriots because it's head-to-toe blue, red, white, and blue with the Patriots logo all over it.
That's pretty cool. I did not know that. That's interesting. And so they share the same plane.
Same
or
charter company. Because I don't when I was a kid, we're talking in the 70s, at the height of the Dodgers-Yankees rivalry. I remember flying to Florida at my Nana's house, and the Dodgers charter was at LaGuardia, and it was so cool to see the Dodgers logo on the wing of the plane, like in probably an old 727 or something.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so they just sent whatever was available.
Yeah, that just happened to be. The extra plane was the Patriots plane, built for comfort,
well,
man.
Well, they're champions.
Hey, speaking of Bob Kraft, considered one of the best owners out there.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope he gets the Hall of Fame. I mean, what's a little noodle rub in the grand scheme of things, right? He should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be.
I mean, what he's done for the brand and, as also, just everything that an owner should do. I think Bob Kraft has been that guy. Well, an owner that everybody thinks is the worst in the world, hands down, would be Tepper up there in Charlotte, right?
Dave Tepper.
Well, here's a cool story. Luke Combs grew up in North Carolina, and after they got battered by the Hurricane Helene and all the damage you guys have seen in upstate South Carolina and North Carolina, they organized a charity concert at Bank of America Stadium last week.
Okay.
So here's a great story. Rather than charging Combs the standard rate, David Tepper donated everything from the proceeds of the concert. He didn't keep any of the parking, merchandise, food, or beer money. He also paid the salaries of everybody that worked the event and covered 100% of the tax bill. So basically, the largest concert in the history of Bank of America, 82,000 people showed up to donate $25 million, and every single penny goes to hurricane relief. So nice job, Tepper.
That's an amazing job.
I mean, I know we kill him, and it's easy to kill him because he makes it easy, but I think everybody deserves a shot, and that's pretty impressive. So nice job right there, mister. Hey, man, it's Halloween. What was your favorite, maybe one or two or top three when you were a kid? You have a standard outfits when you were a kid?
No.
Because, Carl, you grew up in Germany and Texas.
Yeah, we moved all over, man. I'll say this. I'm thinking back to TV shows and stuff. One year, Mike, I went as Mr. T, and it was the funnest thing. Because, I had all the gold chains on, and I say, it wasn't a whole lot, but whatever we could get at the time. And then, the mohawk, they cut my actual hair into a mohawk.
Wow.
And it was so much fun. And then I was walking around, yeah, pity the fool. And I was walking around acting like Mr. T. But that was I remember that vividly. But I will also tell you, in the late 80s, as a kid, the Michael Jackson damn coat.
Yes, the red and black.
And I just saw somebody. Who did I see dressed like this?
P.K. Subban.
Thank you. That's who it was because the TV was on, but I didn't have the volume on. Former hockey player for the Predators.
P.K. and Messier. I mean, P.K.'s always got the amazing duds on NHL.
But he had on that old outfit from Michael Jackson with that red coat. And I was like, is he sporting that tonight? He had on the loafers. That was another outfit, ironically, that I remember vividly. And then obviously growing up, you know, there was those costumes where, you know, you had the mask and you just the one piece, right, that you put on. And, you know, I'm going to be a dinosaur. I'm going to be whatever. But those two jump out. Right. And then as a teenager, I mean, hell, we did whatever we wanted to do. I mean, we were a bunch of things. We went as a group one time dressed as like what was the show? We were dressed up as different characters on the TV show A Different World.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we were all dressed up as different characters.
Nice.
So that kind of stuff, man, as a teen. But you know what? What about you?
We kind of locked in. There was probably 3 years in a row I went as Ace Frehley from Kiss. My buddy Munson was always Gene Simmons.
You do the makeup?
So my mom would do the makeup, and you know, would always have an extra guitar around. So I would be Ace Frehley. And then we'd put sparklers at the end because his guitar used to shoot like flames and stuff. So it would have like sparklers on the end of the guitar. 1 year... in Tallahassee, my buddy Jamie, who went to FAMU, he dressed up, did like the skin cap thing. So he wouldn't shave his head because he had good hair. But he went as Isaac Hayes, the Duke, and I went as Snake Plissken. We were Escaped from New York.
That's cool.
Won some cash. Chris, how about you in Jersey, man? What was your getup?
Yeah, our biggest hit ever was sophomore year in college. We all went as the Mario Mushroom Kingdom. And I was Wario. Cool. I was Wario, the evil one. It was pretty. We did pretty well that night. I'm not gonna lie. It was
nice. A big one this year. And so since it's been Halloween or leading up to it, and I keep talking about it, it was my favorite time. So I'm watching all my classic movies, and I just saw the new Beetlejuice.
Right. I heard it's good.
It's good. I didn't know what to expect. Look, when you see the original, we talk about this all the time. It's very rare that the you know follow up. But Michael Keaton's in it, right? He makes obviously his return appearance, and I think he hosted Saturday Night Live like 2 weeks ago or something like that, which I didn't know about. But it was good, and so I say that to say if you guys are watching Halloween movies or you're doing something to that sort tonight, I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, apparently it's on a pace for over $500 million and counting on a $100 million budget. So I mean, that's the one I'm meaning to see. Hey man, we were talking earlier today. There was a story that broke. I got it from our buddy over at Fox 5.
Fox 5.
Miles Garrett, different way of spelling it than the other Miles Garrett, and it was a damn. Dan Reeves is going to make it to the semis, it looks like, to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class for 2025. Dan Reeves should already be in there because he's got more wins than almost anybody's ninth all-time NFL. We were talking about it. It's one of my things I'm passionate about is how crazy the Hall of Fame drives me nuts. And I like Ken Stabler. Yeah, the stats don't match up with today's year, but it was a different time.
It was.
And I hate the fact that Dan Reeves will probably go in the Hall of Fame and his family will be there, but he's up in heaven because he's one of the greatest guys you got ever met and just a solid dude. But while we were looking at the numbers of Falcons coaches, and anybody who's been here for their whole life knows how bad Falcon coaches have been. It's not a very illustrious list. I got to say something real quick. Mike Smith should be in the Falcons Ring of Honor. Our buddy, Coach Mike Smith. He's the winningest coach in Falcons franchise history, 20 games over 500. He's the first guy to give the Falcon fans back-to-back winning seasons. And in 7 seasons as head coach, he took the team to the playoffs 4 times, including the NFC Championship in 2012. Now, I got to be honest.
That's a lot of winning.
That should be a guy. Let's do this before he gets too long in the tooth. Last time we saw Coach, he had the beard look like Ernest Hemingway.
He did.
Let's get Smitty.
Fishing.
What do you think? You buy that?
I do.
I'm picking it up. I'm putting it down. You're picking it up?
Mike, that is the most winning for a period of a decade that this franchise has ever had.
Right.
Right.
And he kind of, I mean, I know that, you know, Dan Quinn took it to the next level, but I mean, every coach kind of builds on the shoulders of the previous coach. Sometimes they don't have anything to build on. Sometimes they do.
But Quinn didn't have the amount of wins and certainly playoff appearances. Mm. I mean, we had 2 years basically with DQ where we went to the playoffs, obviously the Super Bowl, but you just talked about it. And remember, Mike Smith gets a rookie quarterback in Matt Ryan, Mike. Right. And everybody's like, okay, what's this going to be? And it turned into a lot of winning. I'm with you on this. I have no issues whatsoever. Here's the deal. If you're going to honor your own,
right,
that is a guy who deserves to be in there for what he meant to the Falcon organization.
Right. And again, and as we said, you know, sometimes there's just really great guys. And you've heard the interviews we've done with Smitty. And he's just an absolute sweetheart. So, hey, Falcons, we're looking for a guy. His resume fits the bill. He's the winningest coach in all time. He's got a good pedigree, and he's a good dude. So come on. Think about Smitty for the Ring of Honor. Thank you. Now I'm done now. And the other thing is, can we put the name somewhere inside the stadium that I can see it when I'm in my seats? I know they get mad every time I bring this up. I know that there's tributes to the different members of the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, right outside.
Yeah, but I never see it because I don't come in that entrance.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.